We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast, and we trust that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We had a great week last week. We had had a lot of special activities, and so we helped recharge our batteries by taking some time off and focusing on some other projects that needed to be done around our house and ready for the Christmas stretch run. And so we pray that you are planning on having a joyous Christmas season, and that as Christ lives in your heart, that he doesn't stay in the same infantile status, but you allow him to work his word into your heart and into the very fiber of your being, and that you grow and mature in your relationship with Jesus Christ during this season. So we want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. As we've had some cooler weather, you may have found that your heater needs some attention. And so if that's the case, give them a call, 759-3284. Or if you just want to take advantage of what might be a slower time of the year and give them a call and have them come and make sure your AC unit is fine-tuned. If you're in the central Brevard County, you can give them a call. They will get you up and running. We want to let you know this coming Sunday, we have a special activity. This is going to be a Christmas musical concert with a local evangelist. His name is Richard Roncesvalles, been around Brevard County for a number of years. He's going to be with us and presenting a Christmas musical that he travels around and does. And so we're going to get our Christmas season up and running with that activity. And so that's going to be 10:30 Sunday morning. Put that on your calendar and plan on being there. We have got a lot of exciting things coming up, and that is just the first of it. So plan on joining us this Sunday. We do return to our Wednesday night format this week, and we have a missionary from Guatemala that is going to be with us in our adult service. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. He runs an orphanage there in Guatemala. Our youth and children's pastors, they spent some time ministering with him this summer. And he also developed the Teen Challenge Ministry in Guatemala, which works with seeing people delivered from drugs and alcohol and any other life-controlling issues. So we're looking forward to a special time. That will be Wednesday night, 7 to 7:45. Come and be a part of that. We're going to go back into the Word of God today in Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51. And I've got several things highlighted from this passage of a repetitive nature. And whenever I see a repetitive pattern, it always captivates my attention, because God is trying to tell me something. There is something there that I need to pay extra close attention to. And so I'm going to read Isaiah 51. We're not going to get all the way through it today, so I won't read through the whole chapter, but I'm going to read through the first three verses to begin with. And it says, "Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord will comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." So there's a pattern that manifests itself here in Isaiah 51, and then there's another pattern that in the latter part of the chapter that spills over into Isaiah, the 52nd chapter. The pattern that I want to point out to you first is the number of times that it says, listen to me. Listen to me. And in almost every section where there is a listen, that is followed up with a look or a fix your eyes. There's a hearing and there is a seeing. Hearing and a seeing. In verse number one, it says, listen to me. In verse number four, it says, listen to me. In verse number seven, it says, listen to me. There is something that God wants us to hear. And then in verse number 21, it says, therefore, please hear this. So there is a very important element that we need to focus on, and that is listening to the Lord. You can see it in Revelation when there is a message to the churches. Let him who hath ears to hear, let him hear. We need to listen to the voice of the Lord. We need to recognize he's an authority. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If there is a word that is proceeding, there needs to be a word that we are hearing. So it says, first of all, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. So there has to be an internal drive. There has to be something that God has done on the inside of us that is compelling us to follow the path of righteousness. Now, there's a lot of times where we start off with an external drive. There's people who train us in what to do. There's nothing wrong with that. It is what God did when he gave the word of God to the children of Israel. He gave it to Moses. Moses came down, told it to the people. It says, this is the Ten Commandments. These are the Ten Commandments. And they were written on a tablet of stone. They were external. But later on, God says, I want to write these things on the tablet of your heart. I want it to get down into the very core of your being. We see this when, for instance, I had a privilege here a couple of weeks ago. I went to a meeting and my son was there, my daughter-in-law, and my grandson was there. And there was a lunch that followed, and so I was getting to hold him, and we're very careful to follow the parents' example. They know what this young man is capable of leading and what he's not, and so they gave him a crumb from the cake that was served at dessert, and I said, "Can I do that?" And I don't know that he had ever had cake before. And so I said, can I give him this? And they said, no, that's got crust on it. And so I carved that out and I put it on my finger. And that way he was able to eat it whenever. And let me tell you, my finger got a workout that day, but there was something, he had never had it before. They've said how they introduced him to, they're starting to introduce him to solids, and they introduced him to sweet potatoes. And the first thing that he did with sweet potatoes was he didn't like it. Now he can't get enough of it. There was something that was taking place. It used to be external, but now he will begin to develop internal tastes and preferences, things that he likes, sweet potatoes, cake, things that he doesn't like, peas. Those will grow on him as well. And so we need to listen to God and have an internal desire to listen to him in such a manner that we thrive. It says, listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek the Lord. I want to encourage you, don't make seeking the Lord a low priority. Make it your highest priority. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, everything that the Gentiles seek after, everything that the unsaved seek after, the food, the clothing, the shelter, the safety, all of those things, he said, all these things shall be added unto you. The crazy thing is if you seek after those things, you find that they are constantly moving away. But if you will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33, everything else comes along with it. You see, when you are seeking after God, he doesn't just come by himself. He brings his entire entourage of blessings and provision with him. It says, look to the rock from which you were hewn. So he is speaking to a people who are going through a pretty challenging time. They are just a short period of time away from being carried off into captivity. They just don't know it yet. There's been a diminished geographic influence that they have. They've still got some good days ahead of them, some godly days ahead of them. God's going to continue to use them, but there's still some serious persecution, some problems that they're dealing with. And he reminds them in the midst of this adversity that they need to look to the rock from which they were hewn. That means that they were carved out of it, as a quarry master would carve a particular slab out of a rock. They would do it for a specific purpose. And he said, look to the rock. It will help you to identify who you are, where you see where you have come out of. And so I want to encourage you today, there is no rock like our rock, and his name is Jesus Christ. And so I want you to set your eyes upon him, look to him. If you're going through a difficult time, if you're going through a challenging season, look to your rock. See how he handled it. See how he handled it when people rejected him. I'm telling you that people rejecting you is never an easy thing. And Jesus, when thousands abandoned him because his teaching was more than what they were ready to handle according to them. You see, God's not going to give you anything more than you can handle, but you have to be willing to embrace it. And all of a sudden, everybody abandons him, and he turns to his disciples, and he said, are you going to leave as well? And I believe one of Peter's great declarations was this, Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Where else can we go? And so I want you to look at Jesus right now, and I want you to say, okay, am I a part of that? Do I share the same characteristics? Do I share the same qualities? Do I share the same values? If not, I need to make some corrections in my composition to where there is unity. Unity of nature, unity of purpose between me and Jesus. You see, God says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a species that has never existed before. And so I want to encourage you, make sure that you are prompted by the unconditional love of God. Right now, America needs people who are willing to love unconditionally. We see so much conditional stuff. There are people that are saying, hey, if you don't think exactly like I do, I'm not sharing Thanksgiving with you. I saw a thing before Thanksgiving, a news story, where there was a lady who sent out a group text inviting everybody over to her house. She was a grandmother, and she ended up sending this message to somebody she wasn't related to. And so the person said, you know, who is this? And she said, it's grandma. And he said, he sent a picture back of himself and said, this is a picture of me. Are we related? And she sent a picture back of herself and no, they weren't related. But the great thing was, she said, everybody's welcome at my house. And so I think he was actually going to go over and spend Thanksgiving with this person he had never met, didn't even know if he had anything in common. This was a high school student. And what a great story. What a great story. You know, in fact, as I'm looking at the calendar, yesterday marked 27 years since we came to Brevard County. When we came here, we arrived on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, but it was 11/27 that year, but I could be, no, that can't be. It had to have been last week. Anyway, we got into Brevard County. We didn't know a soul. We knew the name of my supervisor at work. And 27 years later, now my wife and kids, they get amused because wherever I go, I'm able to find somebody that I know. So if you're going through a season, don't just look at the problems or the adversities you're facing. Look to the rock from which you were cut. And he goes on and he says, look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you. Look back to your ancestors and see what I did in their life. One of my wife's relatives posted a video of, I believe it's her father, sharing a testimony of what God did in his life when he was a young man that set this entire family on the path of righteousness. Look at what God did for Abraham, who was an old man when God called him to journey to the promised land. He was already, I believe, in his 60s, late 50s, early 60s. When he made that journey, he had no kids. He had a wife. No kids. He brought his nephew along with him, but there was no natural resources to go. He made a journey of faith. He made a journey of faith, and God was faithful to him and enlarged him. He said, "For I called him alone." Listen, I want to challenge someone today. And that is this: you feel like God has been calling you to do something for him. Now I want to broaden your horizons just a minute, because God's call is not just for people to go into the ministry. God has a calling upon people who are his light, his hands extended in all sorts of workplaces. And so I want to encourage you that if he is calling you, do not shrink back from that. If he's calling you to be an ambassador of his to the business world, don't shrink back from that. If he's calling you to be a missionary to a certain segment of our society, listen, America is in great need of revelation of who Jesus really is. And just as God called Abraham without any real natural provision, and yet God took care of him, blessed him, made him a powerful geographic influence, there were military victories that armies could not successfully withstand, but Abraham conquered them with 318 trained men. So I want to challenge you today. Do not shrink back from the call of God. God is calling you to do something. He's calling you to be a godly father, a godly mother, a godly employee at work. Whatever he's calling you to do, don't shrink back from that. He says, I called him, but I didn't just call him. I blessed him. I blessed him. Do you realize that there is a declaration of blessing over God's covenant people? Even when everybody is looking around, listen, Sarai had no children. And in that society, that meant she was stigmatized. She was looked upon as if there was something wrong with her. That there was something wrong with Abraham, that there was not going to be an heir. And it was pretty frustrating. I'm not saying it was an easy thing, but every time God or Abram bumped up against that season of discouragement, God gave him a little bit more clarity as to how he was going to bring this promise of making him the father of many nations, that there would be nations that would come out of him. He gave him a little bit more insight into how that process was going to work. Today, you can be blessed before there is any external evidence of that blessing. Let me take you back to Genesis chapter 12 just a minute. If my Bible will cooperate with me. Genesis chapter 12. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." That was in chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 15, it says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." And Isaac is not born for another few chapters there. And so I just want to encourage you to embrace the reality that God is going to bless you before the blessing will be a reality before the external evidence is. You just have to embrace it, accept it by faith, and say, God, I know that you called me and that you are faithful and you have blessed me. And because you have blessed me, I am blessed. There, blessing is about provision. It is about contentment. It is about knowing that the God who called you is the God who is journeying with you, and he is the God who is going to provide. And it said, "For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him." Okay? I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. And this is the person that you are supposed to look to. Look what I did with one man and one woman in a obscure part of the world. I did it without a lot of fanfare. I did it without a lot of public declaration. I took the least and I blessed them and I made them my chosen people. And God had his son brought into the world through the descendants of this man as God's covenant people. What a blessing. What a blessing. But it says he increased him. Too many times we are not walking expecting increase. What? In fact, I heard somebody say that, I believe this was Ed Silvoso at one point in time when he was talking about the churches, and I believe it's Argentina, which is where he is from. He said that the churches were of the mindset that when they were smaller, when people left the church, they would cause that, they thought it was a time of great rejoicing because that meant that they were being persecuted. And all of a sudden there was a change in the faith level, and all of a sudden people said, you know what, we're supposed to be reaching our community. We're not supposed to be making excuses. We're supposed to be fruitful. In Jeremiah chapter 29, there is a promise that people quote a great deal, and it's in verse number 11, Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope," or to give you a future and a hope. What I want you to do is I want you to go back and look at that in context. It is a word that God gives to Jeremiah to give to the captives who are in Babylon, who have been hearing these prophecies that says, don't worry, you're going to be going back to the homeland very soon. And Jeremiah says it's going to be 70 years. And Daniel, when he heard this, it was something that God used to bring some resolution into his life. But this is what God says. "Thus says the Lord of hosts," this is Jeremiah 29, verse number 4. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon." Listen, here's verse 5. "Build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, eat the fruit, take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear soon sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. Did you pick up what it said in that chapter? He said, increase there, do not diminish. Increase there, do not shrink. It was supposed to be a place, a fruitful place, a place of growth. And as long as the earth endures, there is these things that will happen. There's seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. And you never plant one seed and just get one back in return. You need to realize that crops, when they are sown, they are bountiful in their fruitfulness. So today I want to challenge you to listen to God, look to God, analyze, see if there is anything in your life that is not line up with a life that Jesus would be pleased with. And if you find something, then make the corrections and repent and turn around and say, God, make me an accurate reflection of who you are. And then I want to challenge you, look to the people that God has used in the past. People who didn't have the natural resources. They may not have had the silver spoon in their mouth when they were born. And yet none of that prevented God from calling them. It does not prevent God from blessing them, and it didn't cause God to be prevented from bringing them increase. Wouldn't it be a great thing if between now and Christmas, the Church of the Living God in Brevard County increased, not because people were just moving from church to church, but because the people of God were changing, becoming more like Jesus, and talking to their neighbors, and seeing people accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and seeing people become disciples and followers of Jesus Christ. Let's become a people that hear from God, that look to God, and we represent God well in this community. Father, we look to you today so that we can follow you. We listen for your voice today to hear, this is the way, walk ye in it. God, we thank you that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and I pray that we would represent you well and that you would call us, you would bless us, and you would increase us. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you.